noticed last night we had some real high winds, and the birds were outside just a little bit before the storm hit, and they were just out there having a good time, and all these winds come through last night and scattered everything, and I got up this morning, I looked out there, and those birds were still out there playing around. And I was thinking a while ago, I said, where do they go? What do they do in the time of storm? I don't know what to do, but I can tell you, whatever it is, it's God's provided way for them. And so, you know, as the storms of life carry on, we just pull ourselves back further into the God's provided way and just let the storm go on by. Amen. Can we sing that song, 842? Isn't He Wonderful? I guess that's what it's called. Simple. I love this worship song. Just invite Him in this morning. He's not a Democrat, he's not a Republican, but he's the creator of all things. Amen. I love to give him honor and recognize him for who he is. Now, Romans chapter 1 says that when they failed to glorify God for what he is, they got in big trouble because he turned them over to reprobate man. I don't want to do that. I want to recognize him for every attribute that he holds, and I don't want to apply that to anyone else. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. Let's go ahead and open in the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to talk about counterfeit religion today. And I guess if I put a subtitle there, I'd call it Satan being exposed again. Amen. Isaiah chapter 14, begin reading in verse 12. This is familiar to us. Amen. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 28 talks about this same fella recognizing and calling him as the king of Tyrus, but you realize that Satan trying to hide there inside that king, but the prophet comes along and identifies him and says who he is there. And so here in Isaiah, he speaks of the same one, but actually refers to, tells who it is. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the naked nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars, that's sons of God, above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword that goeth down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. And then I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Read verse 1 to verse 10. Peter says, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We pray just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the service, to the ministry of your word, we're asking, Lord, that you, in your great Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just loosen the things that would hold us back, Lord, that you would allow us to be able to speak with your anointing and your unction, Lord, the things that you desire to be spoken today. And as your prophet said so many times, and as you're able to close the mouth of a lion, Lord, that you would just close our mouth, that we wouldn't say anything that would be contrary to your will and the timing and the placing. But we ask, God, that you would just let everything be spoken and done this morning to your glory and to your pleasing. We pray, Lord, that you just anoint each one, me as a speaker, Lord, and your people as a hearers, that these things would go right into their hearts. And Lord, it would enlighten us in this day and recognize the hour that we live in. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mentioned there a little while ago that Lucifer was trying to hide in the kings. You know, the prophet come along and said who he was, recognize it. Satan tries to hide places, and yet God knows exactly where he is and reveals his trickery. I remember so many times when Brother Branham was there in the prayer line, and he'd say, you know, Satan would be trying to hide there, but when he was exposed, you could see the strange looks on people's faces as Satan was being exposed. Because he doesn't like to be exposed. He doesn't like people to know who he is and what he's doing. Because, well, he loses his effectiveness when you understand who he is and what he's doing. We see here in the scriptures that Lucifer's desire was to be like the Most High God. But you know what? He can't be God. He can't be God at all. But he wanted to be like the Most High God. And Brother Branham tells us that Lucifer was co-equal with God in every way except in creation. So from that we realize and know that Satan cannot be, Lucifer cannot be anything other than a counterfeit. He can try in so many ways, and he can be everything except the place where he differs from God is in creation, because he is not a creator. And so when Brother Bam tells us that he was co-equal with God, and he can be all these things, but he can't be a creator, and that's the thing that differentiates him with God. And so we know that God is the original. We have this phrase that we're so used to is the original. The spoken word is the original seed. So what God created with was his word, and his word is original spoken word. He doesn't have speak it again. It's not anything different. The original spoken word, that settles it. There wasn't anything else, just the spoken word. And it's with us today. The spoken word is still creative power. But that spoken word creates the original plan of God, and God holds that to himself. Satan doesn't have it, see, because he's not a creator.
Amen.
So all that Satan can do is pervert. All he can do is come along and pervert what God has created. We know this, but we keep moving here and get somewhere in just a moment. So God is the original, and Satan can only be an imitator. But God was, his desire was that he was going to come down and live in his people. God was going to come down and not just have a family, but it was actually, he was going to be a family, because the same portion of God that was in the Lord Jesus Christ is now in us. Same, just like Brother Bam said, that you take a cup out of the ocean, and the same thing is in the cup is in the ocean, just in a part. And so the same life that would be in us is the same life that created heaven and earth. You know, and so you can't put a quantity restriction on something that's infinite. So even, and I know it kind of messes with our mind, but God is infinite. If you take, as it were, a portion and put in a cup, what you have in the cup is infinite. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can't put limits on God. And so God was going to come down and actually not just have a family, but be a family, because it was going to be his own life in them living. And by him coming into his people, we were going to be, as we read in the scriptures there, a chosen generation. Not just, you know what a generation is, but not just a generation among all kinds of generations, but a chosen generation. Someone that was chosen, obviously to be chosen by God. And so he was going to have a people that would be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood, not just somebody that could make intercessions and so forth. But this priesthood was going to be a royal priesthood. In other words, they would have royal blood in their veins, as it were. The life that would be in them would be royalty. So it was of a kingly priesthood. And like the scriptures tells us in Revelation, he makes us kings and priests unto God. So it is a royal priesthood. And also he said that he would make us a holy nation. Now we know there's many nations around the world, but only the nation who God lives in can be a holy nation. And so this is what he was going to do. He was going to come down. And so what I'm showing you here is this is the original. This is God's plan. This is what he's going to do. And Satan can only imitate that. He can't be what God is, because he's not a creator. So there's something that differentiates between God and Lucifer. And that's what we're wanting to kind of talk about this morning, and see if the Lord will open it up to us. And so, we were going to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so, like we were talking about the other day, that when the Lord went to, he said, I must needs go by Samaria. And he went by there because of the woman at the well. And as we talked, how that her outside life was black, pitch black. It was nasty because she was had lived with so many husbands. And, you know, comparing her to the Pharisees and Sadducees, their life on the outside was white and righteous, right? But Brother Ben goes on to explain that she knew more about God than those priests who had learned and studied and were, because what they had learned about God was learned by the letter of study and memorizing and those sorts of things.
Right.
So they had that kind of a life where they had learned about God, but she knew about God from within, where they learned about God from the outside. And so Brother Rim said this way, she had representation in heaven. There was something in heaven that represented her And as we said the other day, we know the phrase of you, we've heard from our theophany that in that dimension, God has an image of you at your perfection, and that's the predestinated person of who you are. And while you're here, you're just living in this life trying to come in contact with that. And once you realize that the Word of God is evil food, once you realize that's what you feed on, not what denominations and all that says, but once you connect with God, now you have a connection between you and that real you, theophany, in that dimension. And so she had that, and because she had that, when he come along and did the sign of a Messiah in front of her, she recognized it for what it was and did not call it Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. But the people who did not have representation inside but had learned it, they couldn't recognize who he was, and so when he did the sign of a Messiah in front of them, they called it prince of the devils. So that was the difference. And so though she was black on the outside, inside she was righteous because of predestinated connection she had with God. She had representation. But the priests, the Pharisees and Sadducees, though they were white and righteous looking on the outside, inside they were full of dead man's bones, so, as it were. So you follow me there. And so we're going to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, bringing forth praises to God. And the reason why we're going to do that is because we have representation. So God's people have representation. They have a connection to that dimension that makes them manifest and flesh out praises unto God, makes them manifest out a holy nation, a royal priesthood. See what I'm saying? Because of that over there. Just like I told you the other day, if you look at it in the scriptures, if you go in there where he said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth be loosed in heaven. And if you go look at the original there, what it says is, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in, will happen, having already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will happen, having already been loosed in heaven. So it's just showing you that whenever you're going to, when we're followed by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and we're acting out what that other dimension is, when something goes to be bound here on earth, it's going to happen is because it's already been done there, and we're just acting out what that is. We're just acting out the predestinated plan of God. So God's children, and we're talking about God and what's different between him and Satan, but I'm going to bring it down and talk about the difference between God's family and Satan's family, between pure religion and false religion, and show you where Satan hides. And of course you know this, but this is a different route of looking at it. So God's children have representation. Lucifer can only be a counterfeit. I said that a while ago, but he can only be a counterfeit to anything God has. So his influence upon his children, they can only be a counterfeit. They can't be that genuine like the family of God can be. So there's two totally different things here, two different seed lines, two different nations, two different generations, as it were. And so, you know, if you want to talk about, let's say if I said now, they're going to come out with a new dollar, and I'd tell Brother Dylan here, say, Brother Dylan, I want you to go, and I want you to create, as best you can, a copy of this new dollar that's coming out. Well, he'd think I was crazy until I showed him a new dollar. He couldn't make an imitation until first there's one made. We know that. You can't make an imitation of something until there. So the original always comes first, right? The original always comes first. And then once that original comes, being the perfection of God, his perfect will, then Satan can go to work to try and imitate that. And his whole idea is to try and do his best to be identical to the original so that he can gain the benefits of what the original has and yet not be the original.
Right?
Right? And so you look at money, and so what makes a counterfeit $20 bill or something like that? A counterfeit bill, you know, there's got to be something different. So you have an original, and then somebody comes along and makes a counterfeit, and if they could make it exactly like the original, then it wouldn't be a counterfeit.
Right.
So there's something that's got to be missing. See? There's got to be something missing there, or it would be. And so a counterfeit's got something lacking somewhere that the original has and it does not have. And so even if you could physically make a $20 bill be exactly, perfectly, just like the original, I'm going a little step further than what I just said there. Even if you could do it, it would still be counterfeit because, and this is what I want to talk about here. A dollar, now I realize the way we've run this modern monetary system is different, but it's supposed to be that when you have a dollar bill or a $10 bill or $20 bill, that piece of paper actually has some gold somewhere that backs it. Right? So it shouldn't be that this paper is floating around and there's not gold to back it. But, and that's what we've got. We've got it such now that there's all kinds of paper money running around without the gold to back it. But you see, once you have a dollar bill that's a genuine dollar bill and it has gold backing, then that dollar's purchasing power, his purchasing strength is fully there because, not because of what it is, it's nothing, but because of the backing that it has from that other dimension of gold. And in the Bible, gold represents deity. And so even monetary, in a monetary sense, for a dollar bill to have its full purchasing power, and to, even though it looks like it's worth nothing like this, where it looks like we're worth nothing, right, but if that dollar bill has representation in that other dimension, a godly representation, it has gold backing, then it can absolutely purchase and have full strength right here, though it's nothing, because it's got something backing it.
Right.
Follow me? And that's the believer. So this is what makes the difference. A believer, they've got representation, they've got gold deity backing them for who they are, but the false church, the counterfeit religion, they don't have it. They don't have that backing.
Right.
And so this is what makes the real dollar a real dollar, is because it has that gold backing. And so no matter how much you want to make a counterfeit look like the original, if it doesn't have that gold backing, it can't. It's no good. It shows you just how bad things have got with the monetary system. Should be gold backing it. And I'll say this, that if the value of the gold changed, because it holds, you know, that's why they use gold. It's precious. That's why it represents deity. Even in Bible times, it represents deity. But it stays pretty constant. It's got full purchasing power. When everything else is going crazy, it stays up there quite a bit, unless they manipulate it. But you see, it's something that's, and that's why it represents God, is because it's something that you can rely on. But let's say it changes a little bit. And it does. It goes up and down. So then, if you've got dollars that are tied to that gold standard, as the gold goes up and down in value, so does the dollar. Because that's what represents it. So if the gold has less purchasing power, then the dollar has less purchasing power. But if the gold has great power, great, you know, then the dollar has. You follow me? Nobody follows me? You got to have that backing, that gold backing. And so the false doesn't have it. They don't have that backing. No matter how hard they try, they don't have it. So Lucifer is trying to be God without having the backing. He's trying to be God like the Most High without creative spoken word ability. Follow me? He's trying to be that. And no matter how well he looks, and no matter how big of a kingdom he gets, and no matter how many governments he subverts, and no matter what kind of position he puts in place, he's still nothing because he doesn't have that backing. Because he's not really the original. He's just trying to imitate it. But the original has that connection to that back there. My son has a connection to me because he's got my genetics in him. See, you can't change that. So he has it. So Lucifer can only be, he's trying to be God without spoken word. And his children, his influence upon his people, their religious, his religious system, they can't be anything more than just imitators because they don't have representation. They don't have gold deity backing to be a real manifestation. And so when you don't have that, you got to have a fiat system. You got to have, when you don't have it on a gold standard, now you can print up whatever you want and you don't have to worry about what's backing it. And that's what we have today.
Right.
They can take your money and loan it out many, many, many times more. You give them $1,000, they can loan it out $15,000 or $20,000 worth off of that one, because it's just fictitious. But you can't do that if you have it tied to a gold standard.
Right.
Now, I'm not a financial wizard. I'm just telling you what lines up the concepts of what's there and how it speaks of the kingdom of heaven. And so, his children have no word representation. They do not have access to the spoken word, the creative power. They don't have access to the life, the gene of God, because it's not in them. Follow me? Because they're not the offspring of God.
Right.
They don't have something in them that ties them back to God.
Right.
So they don't have representation. And if they were a dollar bill, they have no gold backing.
Right.
So they're a fake religion. A counterfeit religion. And so this is the way Satan works. He can't be anything different. He can't produce something that has the life in it, because it's not there. He's not got it to give. See? Only God can do that. And this is the difference. Though he can be so much like God, that's one thing he can't do. And he can have a religion that looks so much like Christianity, speak in tongues and everything else, but there's one thing they can't have. They don't have access to spoken word. And I'll say it this way, throughout the ages, in any given age, they didn't have access to the spoken word manifestation of that day. And neither do they in this day.
Right.
That's the difference. They can be ever so religious like Cain was, but without that representation, without that backing of deity, they're nothing but just an imitation. And therefore, there's characteristics that come from them, that's the characteristics of what Lucifer had. Now we know him as Satan, and we know what the scripture said. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies, right? We know that.
Right.
And so his offspring can only be what he is. They can only mimic or express what that life in them is that comes from him. And so, since he's not God, and he doesn't have spoken word, and he doesn't have that germ of life of the spoken word in him, then neither does his church system. Only God has it. Amen. Only God has it. And that's the difference between God, God's people and the rest. So God's children believe the spoken word. And by believing it, it gives them access to it. It's alive in our life. It makes a difference. It can produce, Satan can't give you a new birth. He can't create that new creation in you. But God does. You see what I'm saying? He can't do it. But God can do it and does do it, because he has, it is the spoken word. And so when God's people have that genetic tie in them, they believe the spoken word for their hour. They believe the creative act in the hour. It produces creation in their life. And they act out exactly what that representation of, that they are in heaven, they act it out. It's all they can do. And so, that spoken word, to me, when I look at that, it is the germ, gene, the life of God that we have access to. That's the thing that God uses to defeat Satan by.
Amen.
Amen. You know, each of the living creatures, we have the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And each of those living creatures, we sometimes call it beast, but it's not an untamed animal, but it's a living creature. And so these living creatures, they were an anointing that was to come forth and live and anoint the lives of Christians in the different ages. And so what I kind of want to show you there is that each one of those anointings had representation in that dimension. And when that anointing came forth and anointed the people of God in that day, that people were living out the representation of what they were. And so that first living creature was the lion of the tribe of Judah. It was was the lion, and we understand that was the early church, that when the gospel was to the Jews and them alone, and when they rejected it, then God said, okay, we're going to take it to the Gentiles. And in order to take it to the Gentiles, you've got to spread it, you've got to send it out, and you've got to go out there and combat against all these other religions and get that word out there. And God chose something that was fierce, something that was powerful, so he put on the church the anointing of the lion, so they could go out with boldness and spread the gospel throughout all the areas over there. And that makes perfect sense. But when that church, early church, was doing that, they could not do anything different than that, because that was the anointing that was upon them. And so what I want to show you is that they could only, they had great purchasing power as money. You know, Brother Ram talked about us being silver dollars, or, you know. So they had the purchasing ability of the spirit of the lion of the tribe of Judah, because there was representation, there was gold backing in that dimension that said, you go out and you can go forth and take that across the different areas over there in the strength of the lion of the tribe of Judah. So they had deity in that dimension that had anointed them and sent them forth to do that. So they were not bogus dollars. They had real purchasing power, as it were. You understand the parallel I'm making here, to be exactly what that gold said they could be. Well, we find out a little bit later, whenever it went from the anointing of the lion, then it went to the calf or an ox, which is a beast of burden. And that corresponds to the time of the Dark Ages and all the martyring that took place, where the Catholic Church was allowed to go out and kill all the Christians and basically take it down to where there was almost nobody left for 1,000 years, a millennium, Satan's millennium. And so, but the church during that hour had a different anointing upon him. It wasn't the anointing of the lion, but it was an anointing of a calf or an ox. It was an anointing that said, be a sacrifice. Let them kill you. You follow me? Now, what am I saying? It was a different purchasing power, because in that dimension, the gold backing said, now we can't be the lion of the tribe of Judah no more. We're now moving into a different phase. The gold backing says, now you have to be a sacrifice. And that's all they could be. But they weren't fake dollars. They weren't fake family of God. They were going out and being exactly what God said, because they had the backing to be what they were to be.
Right.
Same thing when it come up into Luther's age, to be, not to be the lion of the tribe of Judah, not to be a sacrifice, but to stand there and withstand the Catholic Church with the intellect and wisdom of man. Just to, God can show you he can do that. Because that was what the representation in that dimension said be. That's all they could be. Nobody could come along and say, no, but I want to be, I don't want to stand here and debate these Catholic priests and show them all these different things. I want to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. They didn't try to be that, because the anointing that was upon them came from that dimension. That was the kind of backing they had from that dimension, was to be that. But now when it comes to the last age, it's the same thing. The last living creature anointing was the flying eagle. And so that is an anointing that comes forth upon the church, and the church can only be that. You can't stand here and say, but I want to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Because, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah is going to take it all over the world. But you know what? The gospel pretty much went all over the world. So it wouldn't be any good to do that again. See? And we're not called to have the anointing to say, well, I'll just go out here and let them kill me. That's for foolish virtue. Right? That's not our anointing. And we're not called to stand here and debate and just debate and debate and back and forth, though we find ourselves doing that a lot. You shouldn't do that necessarily. Once you catch the understanding of what our anointing is to go forth as a flying eagle, and that is to be able to rise up above all these things that the lion of the tribe of Judah had to deal with, that the ox and calf had to deal with, and that the intellect of man had to deal with. The eagle can rise above and leave all that behind. It's a different anointing. And guess what? We've got the gold backing to be that. He says we can purchase that. And so if you come along and say, I've got the Lion of the tribe of Judah and I'm going to take a rapture, wrong currency. You don't have the purchasing power to do it. But in this day, to be anointed from that dimension, a gold deity to say, in this hour, you've got enough purchasing power that you can have the body change, that's the anointing we have upon us. And we should understand this, and we should catch ourselves, examine ourselves, and say, you know what? I'm not going to try to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm not going to try to be a sacrifice. I'm not going to look and expect to be martyred. I'm going to expect to be raptured. I'm not going to spend my day trying to talk to people and try to convince them so much, even though you do want to be a testimony, but you don't get into that mode. You want to get into the mode of being the eagle. Not just an eagle, but a flying eagle. Because that's the anointing. And we're not going to be successful in our walk, in our daily walk, until we get into that anointing and live it that way. Because then we're tied to that gold backing. Now we're not trying to purchase something that doesn't belong to us. We're trying to purchase something that does belong to us. And that's what we have to do.
Amen.
And so all those living creatures, they had their representation for that dimension, and that's all they could manifest in this hour, in their hour, was what the anointing was. But the false seed, as I said a while ago, they do not have access to the germ of life. And in all those ages, when God had people who were catching that anointing for them, there was another church on hand that did not have access to that germ of life. They did not have representation in them, and so they didn't catch the message of the hour. When God was giving out that germ of life into his church, they missed it because they didn't have access to it. Because they're the wrong family. I know that sounds really strange to somebody that doesn't know the message, but that's the truth.
Right.
That is the truth. And so they missed the Germanized word of their day, the message of their day. They don't have gold backing. So they're out there, they're a church, but they don't have deity backing. So they're a false monetary church, as it were. I'm making the parallel between the two. And they're out there doing all this stuff, but it's going to crash because it doesn't have gold backing.
Right.
Amen. That difference between those two seed lines, we can see it throughout all the ages. And now I want to kind of shift and focus on the characteristics of both sides, especially the side of the false. So that difference was there, and we right off the bat begin to see it in the Garden of Eden. Because Cain slew Abel. And why did Cain slay Abel? The scriptures tell us that Abel was righteous. Abel had a revelation of what God really wanted in worship. He caught the revelation. Abel did. But Cain did not. Now see, here's the two. Abel had representation and he caught it and he knew what God wanted because he had access to the creative spoken word germ of life. But Cain did not. So Cain, all he knew to go was an intellectual way, and I'm going to serve God. And if you really look at it, Cain probably was trying to worship God in the way that Cain thought God would be pleased with it rather than by revelation. And so God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice, but he was with Abel. And so Abel was doing what was right. Was Abel a sinner? Sure. Right? He wasn't perfect. He was a sinner. But yet, he caught that lifeline of God that was extended down to him to give him access to that righteousness. And over here, Cain did not have access to that. And so, even though Abel was a sinner, you know, Abel probably had just as many problems as anybody else did, but he caught the revelation and God accepted that. Cain became jealous. Cain was even told, here's what you got to do. But you know what? Cain refused to do what his brother did because Cain could not humble himself. Cain could not bow down to God.
Right.
Because he said, I want to be like. I always sin up. And so here's this nature. He cannot bow down, cannot become obedient, cannot humble himself. But yet over here, Abel could. And so he got jealous of the righteous, even though the righteous was sinners, was a sinner. But yet he caught that righteousness, and the righteousness of God was being projected through him, though he was a sinner. Cain became aggravated to that, and Cain slew his brother because of that. Because his brother's acts was righteous, and yet he was a sinner, but Cain's was wicked. You follow me?
Right.
So there it was, right down through there. And I'll say it this way. There wasn't anybody else. I mean, there was Adam and Eve, but we don't see anything else in the scriptures to make us think anything different than what I'm about to say. There wasn't anybody else there, but if there had been other people there, I'll tell you what Cain would have done. Cain would have managed to get some people to lie about Abel, and then they would have killed Abel on a false witness. Because he's a murderer and he's a liar. And he come down into his own child, and his own child was doing it. There's the life of Satan right there. Because he doesn't have the goods, he has to persecute that which resembles the plan of God most accurately. He's got to come against it. You follow me? Because that image is represent some righteousness in it, even though it's a sinner saved by the grace of God. It's representing godliness and righteousness and the things that God would have humanity to live by. It represents that. And yet over here, even though they're told, Cain and his offspring are told, if you'll do this, you'll be accepted too. And God would accept them, and yet they don't have in themselves what it takes to humble themselves, and therefore they can't bow down and accept God's provided way. They've got to try and figure out some other way than God's provided way. And they become jealous because God testifies to the righteousness because they're connected to his provided way. You see the difference there?
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes back to the fact that it is Satan, Lucifer, in that seed line that will not humble themselves and that are constantly contrary to the word of God, constantly against the people of God. There's where Satan lays.
Right.
It's a false religious system. They're trying to purchase and be what God is and be a family of God, and they can't be it because they don't have access to it. They don't have access to a new birth. That's why they still live like devils but call themselves Christians. Because they don't have access to that spoken word to create a new creature in them. They don't have it. And so all they can do is try to mimic something and get some big program up and build something up to try and be a great religious worship. And all it is just dead. That's all it is. And God doesn't have favor to it. He doesn't accept it. And when God does accept the righteous, they don't like it. When God will raise up a ministry that's got the supernatural presence of God in it, they don't like it. They try to create imitations of it, but they don't have it. They don't have it. Amen. You can see where I'm at on my notes. So Cain killed Abel because Abel was righteous. So we know that Cain, you follow his genealogy on down through the flood, that lineage became Cush. And Cush begat Nimrod. Brother Branham tells us in history, you read about it, Cush started this movement of pulling away from the belief that everybody at that time across the lands over there all believed in one God who's supreme in his power. But Cush come along, he starts providing something different. And what he got started there didn't build up full steam, but his son Nimrod brought it to full strength. And Nimrod is the one that gave us Babylon. Nimrod was a mighty hunter. And we talked about this before, but just to bring it all current to you. He was a mighty hunter. He was the one that went out and began to conquer. He was the one that practiced war first. He went out to conquer, and all the other settlements of people all around out there, he went out and he forced them into his belief system, set up a name for himself, set up a religious system for himself, was able to do all that, but he had to do it by force. He had to go out there and say, you're going to come my way, or I'll kill you if you don't come my way.
Right.
That's Nimrod. And it was what we know to be Babylon. And in that system where he was going to force everybody into that, and why didn't they just go with God's provided way? They'd already had the flood, and it's like, you know what? We don't want to deal with the judgment of God that just happened a few years ago, so we got to figure out a way that we can escape the wrath and judgment of God if it comes again. And so they built this tower up into heaven, the Tower of Babel. They built this, and their idea was, you know what? If another flood of water comes, we can run up this up here, and we can escape the judgment of God. That's what they wanted to do. And I think Brother Graham might have put it this way, so that they could run up this up here and escape judgment, and then they could come right back down and live like devils. Can't do that if you're going God's provided way. God's provided way gives you a change, and you won't live like devils no more, and you won't have to escape nowhere because you've already in the safety zone. But they built this to go up there and escape the judgment of God. And if you know in the scriptures, you know how I talked about here a while back, how that, you know, the scripture said that on the altar, make it out of stone, but don't put your tool to it, because if you put your tool to it, you've polluted it. Remember that? In other words, the place where you're going to meet God on the altar, don't let that place where your altar is, don't let it be man-manipulated. It had to be natural stones, not man-made doctrines. Following? Because a stone is a revelation. Not something, a stone which is a revelation that man's come along and hews it around and makes it be fashioned what he wants it to be. But leave it alone and let it be a pure revelation from God, and let that be the place where you meet God on that basis. So don't touch it. Well, guess what the scripture said there? Nimrod, what did he do? He didn't go get stones to make his tower. He went and got and made bricks. A man-made imitation of something to build with. Instead of building up one word on top of word on top of word, he went out and got other things and come together and brought bricks and slime for mortar. And so the whole thing was a false system, a false escape from judgment. And they thought, oh, we can go up here and we will escape. And so we know what God did. He come down and confounded them. And I've said this many times, you have Babylon because they left the original word. When you leave the original word, you're going to chaos. And that's why you got so many religious systems out there, because they left the original word, the original creative power of God. They left the germ, the gene of life. And that's why they got so many different confusions and everything out there. Because they left it. And so it's Babylon. And so we understand that was Babylon. That became Nebuchadnezzar and all that. You follow that. Which eventually became Rome, the Roman Empire. And then the Roman Empire became the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church has daughters. So I'm showing you right from Cain and the system of faith, false religion that doesn't have the germ of life in him, comes all the way down through time, the trail of the serpent, from the serpent at the beginning and serpent at the end, through the trail of the serpent. Brother Branham never got to preach it, but I tell you, he preached it his whole ministry.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about. Satan in the beginning, and how he come right down through time, all the way down through the Catholic Church, right out into the Protestant churches, and it's right among us today, and he's here at the end doing what he did at the beginning.
Right.
Amen. But he's exposed. Amen. He is exposed. And so that became the Tower of Babel, which became Babylon. And he comes all the way down. And the scripture said, Mystery Babylon. Mm-hmm. A beautiful church system. Beautiful. Incidentally, Brother Graham said that woman would be beautiful in the White House. So, you know, kind of debatable what might be happening. You know. But a beautiful woman, and John, right typing the church, even marveled. And the angel had to say, don't marvel at that. Don't you look at this Catholic church and think it's great because it's got millions and billions of dollars and gold everywhere and all that kind of stuff. Don't you do it, because let me tell you what they are. Let me tell you, they're false. Fake. And so, it's all the way down here with us to this day. Why didn't they just come God's way? Because they can't. They cannot humble to the word of God and accept that and let that be, because it's the life of Lucifer working in them. It's coming right down. That's why we can call it his children, because that's the way it is. They cannot humble to God, and therefore they don't have access to the eternal life. They can't catch the revelation of the day. And so while they're like that, they have to bring persecution toward the people of God, toward the revelation, toward the word of God. So what did Babylon do? They go down, and God even can use them as a tumor. Went down and brought Israel out, brought them into captivity, right? Carried away to Babylon. Come along with Rome, who had control then? Who was had their hand in crucifying Jesus, right? Rome was there. Follow me? They always have. Look what Jezebel did. When Ahab wanted, I think it was Naboth's vineyard, or was that his name, Naboth? He wanted that vineyard that was up against his palace, and the guy wouldn't let him have it. And he was in there boohooing like a kid up against the wall, laying there crying because he couldn't have it. And Jezebel comes in, his wife, representing the Catholic Church, right? She comes in. What's the matter with you? Oh, you won't let me have the vineyard. You're the king. You can have what you... Let me take care of this. And she goes out, and what does she do? She gets false witnesses against the owner of the vineyard and has him slain. What did they do to Jesus? False witnesses. And crucified him from a false witness. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Right? And I think Paul and the disciples, you'll find in there, they did the same thing. They would raise up false witnesses and then crucify or punish based upon false things. Because that's the way they work. That's the lineage of Lucifer right there, working, even though they're a religious system, even though they got great power and great strength and all that, many in numbers, but it's Lucifer. And the characteristics are there. They cannot have access to the spoken word, and therefore they have to persecute the spoken word. And those who do that. Those who resemble, though they're sinners, though they resemble righteousness, and there are righteous things that they're trying to stand for, righteous things that they want to live and stand for, they have to be persecuted because they resemble righteousness of God. And this is Lucifer's fight against God. But it's only playing out here on earth in people.
Right.
And it has to be that way. And so I would imagine probably down through the ages, the Catholic Church and all those who resist the Word of God, they probably many, many times brought false witnesses, and many people were crucified and killed by a false. And they knew, while they were standing there burning them at the stake, they knew that that person was burning on a false accusation that they created to hang them.
Right.
Jezebel knew that when they killed Naboth, I think was his name. Forgive me if that's not the name. I didn't have time to look it up when I was thinking about this a little while ago. But she knew while they were killing that it was a lie that they were killing him for. And they knew the same thing, that when they made lies about Jesus or lies about the apostles, they knew that that's how wicked they are. See, these people are void of truth. They're void of having the ability to be righteous and do what's right. And they will go there's no limit to what they will do. They'll go to full lengths to do whatever they have to remove anything that resembles God from their midst.
Right.
That's Lucifer in them. Right. I don't care what people say. It's the devil working in it. And it's his system, and he's manifesting it. And so that's what they do. They've got to crucify or kill. You know, they start out and say, when the Jesus, they could not out-talk him. They couldn't make him, with his own word, try to condemn him with his own word. And when he was just, the wisdom, they just couldn't take him down by just mere trying to challenge him by his own word. Right? So they start out with, we'll start out with simple tactics. We'll take care of this guy. We'll make him look like an idiot. But they couldn't make him look like an idiot. The scripture said he put to silence those priests. So they had to go to another notch. And not just sitting here. So then they had to start making him look like, oh, he's prince of, look how bad this guy. He's Beelzebub. He's the prince of the devils. They start demonizing him, start trying to, in the eyes of the people, making him look so bad so that when they get ready to kill him, they got the people behind him. So they start out a massive campaign on all the different news sites to make sure everybody understood Jesus was prince of the devils. And it was all a lie. And they fell for it. Multitudes standing there going, crucify him, crucify him. How could humanity do that? How could it get to that place where there he was, the very hope of all the earth right there. And they were saying, crucify, crucify. Because politics and the system was rigged in such a way that the powers that be that was inside that Roman system, inside the fallen religious system of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't have access to the spoken word. They couldn't recognize him. And yet they saw that this man, that God was with him, and nobody could. And so they got to crucify him, because if we don't stop this, the Romans are going to come and take all everything we got. You know what the scripture said? We got to silence this guy because he's going to take down our house. And that's exactly what was going on. So they had massive campaigns. I'm trying to bring it forward so you understand what I'm saying. Massive advertising. All the networks were all pushing this, pushing it. And anytime somebody stood up and showed what Jesus was, the proof that he was Messiah, proof that he was what he was, they silenced it. Have a man that was raised up, a man that was blind from birth, or Lazarus. They wanted to kill Lazarus because he was resurrected. Got to stop this evidence. We got to snuff out any voice that tries to give credibility to Jesus. We got to do that too, because that's going to get people to believe it, and we won't be able to hold our strength and our power, and it's all going to be taken away from us because this guy is not one of us. That's it. That's the nature of the devil as he comes out against righteousness. Amen. That's all they can do. And that whole system's come right down. You see it all the way through, all the way through, all the way down. And the Catholic Church is a master at playing both sides to make happen what they want to happen. Lord, forgive me. You know, but I remember in high school, all these brothers probably had to own up to this, but I remember in school, high school, you'd have a couple of guys that, you know, that didn't necessarily like each other, and we would agitate one against the other and agitate that one against this one, hoping we could get those two to scrap. That's right. I see all kinds of halos. We wanted to see a fight. So we would play both sides, trying to get something started. And that's why I said, Lord, forgive me for that, you know, but that's the way we were as sinners, you know. But you know, without something down inside, without something in there, people want to bicker and they want to see a fight and they want to turn somebody against somebody else and they want to choose a side without thinking things through. And they, you know, and it all becomes these pitted one against another. See what I'm saying? Jesus Christ doesn't do that. He's pure. There's the truth right before you. But when you get outside of the life of God and you're anointed of this other life, of Lucifer, then whatever you can dream of, that's what you do to try and snuff out that truth. And that's what you do. And, you know, nowadays, people say, oh, you know, it's political. No, it's not political. It might be political, but it's the devil. It's good against evil. That's what it is, no matter how you slice it. When you got a people that resembles God, trying to stand for some portion of godliness, and you got another side that can't stand it, and they're going to do everything they can to tell lies, generate whatever they can, campaigns, massive advertisement, lies and everything else to try and take out the other side. It is Satan, Lucifer, and his people working against the righteous side, even though they're sinners, but they do have righteousness expressed through them to some degree. The world's not what we would want it to be as the bride, but the fight, that's what it is. This thing that's going on right now is good and evil. It's evil rising up to do what they want to do, to snuff out what's left. And so, they can't come God's way. They could never humble and say, yeah, we were wrong. We made up these lies, and we tried to take this down, and we knew it was lies. They're not going to say, yeah, we spent $50 million of U.S. taxpayer dollars investigating something that we knew we generated that wasn't there. They're not going to do it.
Right.
It's the devil. And they can't do it because they have no life in them. This is why they can do the things they're doing, is because it is Lucifer. It's that gene. It's that family of Lucifer. And they have one goal, and that's Lucifer working for them to come against the family of God and the Catholic Church, playing everything they can to make it all move like they want. And the Protestants may not know it, but they're playing into it too.
Right.
Talking about denominational daughters. They are too. They can't come to God's provided way because they don't have the germ of life in them. They don't even catch it. The fact that people would make choices based upon, I just don't like the way the man talks. And the guy that's against him wants to take America into communism, and they're going to vote for it. It shows you the mental faculty of people are gone. And it's just like I'll read a quote here in a minute. Decency and honor needs to be spoken from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And my wife would tell you, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm not politically minded, but I speak out against the things I see that are against truth, because we have to. And I realize, you know, you'd be a target when you show these things, but this is the truth. So, they tried to build a tower to heaven to escape the wrath of God, and these modern generations, they have their own ideas trying to build a system to escape the wrath of God, but still live like devils. Go up and down, and God don't accept it. They're headed for judgment.
Right.
And the closer they get, the more upset they get. You know, Scripture said Satan come down because he knows he has a short, you know, because he realizes, man, I'm losing this. And they're losing it. They've been losing it. And they're just... It's all or nothing. You see what I'm saying? Do whatever we can to stop this righteousness from taking away our kingdom. It's the same thing we saw in the Bible. And here it is again. But it has to be this way. Amen. So, in their ranks, all they can do is be like their father, and they have to seek to kill the influence of the word of Christianity. Is God for abortion? Is God for altering lifestyles? His word says no. But they're for it, so they got to stop it. See? No matter how you slice it. And the credibility of people is done. That a people, a news anchor, will stand there and know that they're pushing, they've received their 4 a.m. talking points that all networks are going to push this light day. And they'll stand there and do it for a job or for notoriety, that I might be able to become anchor person someday, rather than going back to the Christian values and saying, I will not stand for this nonsense. I'm going to stand for what's right. And it's been said, I think Ronald Reagan said it, you know, freedom is never more than one generation away. That's right. And so I'm building up to quotes I'm going to read here so that you understand that we want to know we're living in, and we want to know what's going on. And I'm not, by no means, we're not saying take up any kind of weapons and go do nothing. I'm just telling you, this is what's going on. It's the devil. Know that it is. Know that they're doing exactly what the Word of God said they're going to do, and they're getting frantic because they're getting close to their destruction. But we've got the promise of God as we have it. These things, when the Scripture said, when they see these things coming, look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. Be happy about it. Say, praise God, the devil's getting so wild, he just can't stand it, because he knows it's about over with.
Right.
And he's going to swing in his direction for a little short while, And when he does, like Brother Ram said, when they start that cowardly deed that they're going to do, then God will take his people away, his bride away. And then, of course, foolish virgin and the rest of them left here on this earth is going to go through a serious time. But always remember, we are anointed to be eagles, flying eagles. No matter what happens, that's who we are.
Right.
Amen. So all these things that Rome and all this, Brother Graham shows us this, it all comes down and it winds up right here in the United States in Revelation chapter 13. Right there, the beast that comes up out of the ground, not out of waters. And it's the United States, and right here is where this thing comes forth that controls the world. And I'm convinced that we're seeing it gain power right now. And all they can be is like their father. Winds up in the United States in Revelation 13, ruled by a woman, a church, brought in by a woman's vote and by crooked voting machines. Produce false witnesses to try and destroy righteousness. But it has to be this way. So I'm going to read some quotes here and then we'll be done. Straight up moon right now. Five identifications of the true church, I think, is the rest of the title on that. A beast in the Bible means power. If you notice, many ministers, I see them nodding their head right because they're teachers of the Bible. A beast means a power. And we see these beasts in the Bible in Revelation 13 and of Daniel coming up out of water. Beast powers coming up from among peoples because water is a people. But did you notice in Revelation 13 when the United States came up, it's the only beast in the Bible that came that didn't come up out of waters. The Bible said it come up out of the earth where there was no peoples. And that was this new kingdom. And it looked like a lamb, but after a while it spake like a dragon. He's talking about the United States. It spake like a dragon. That's this country. It's got to happen. Someday, they'll make a mistake and elect the wrong guy. They'll raise up a Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph. They tried it before. Brother, I'm saying this, and this is in 1960, in September of 1960. He said they tried it before, and they'll do it again if they fail this time. So right at that time was the election of Kennedy. Fixing to happen. It'll finally come. The Bible says so. I'm not a politician. Both sides are crooked. I'm casting my vote on Jesus. He's the only one I'm interested in. But I tell you, now listen, Brother Graham's sitting there saying, it's coming to this nation. And he said, perhaps it's going to be doing it right there. But he said, they're going to do it. He said, but I tell you, you better wipe your glasses off now if you expect to have any freedoms for your children. I don't know how close it is. Pray. All right? In the Laodicean Church Age, he says, they're going to permit women and are permitting women to vote. And by voting, they'll elect the wrong man some of these days. And you did it in this last election. So now it's after the Kennedy election. It was a woman's vote that elected Kennedy. We know that. Between the crooked machines and things fixed up that the FBI exposed. Why aren't they doing something about it? Why ain't something said? Ha! Afraid somebody would lose their job, you see. It's just a bunch of politics rotten to the core, that's all, sure. There's no salvation in this nation. There's no salvation in any nation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, Him alone. That's right. Now, I'm thankful that for America. I'd rather live here than any place. Because outside of Canada and the United States, which are twins, we know that neighboring nation's a wonderful place. But I'd rather live here than anywhere that I know of because it's my home. I'm glad that I'm an American and thankful for it. But I tell you, it certainly needs a counter-revival. It sure does. But it will not get it. No, sir, she'll never rise again. No, sir, she's gone. You remember that about 5 years ago in Chicago on tape. You got it, Gene? I said, they'll either accept it this year or they'll constantly drop down. And they've done it, and they will do it until she'll finally meet her end. But there'll be a powerful woman. Now remember, this is on tape too, a powerful woman, a great woman, and she'll either be president or to be a woman representing the Catholic Church, which I think it is, will take over here someday, and she'll rule this country. This nation is a woman's nation. And he goes on to talk about how it's a woman's nation, and it's true. In 1961, uncertain sound. Politics, uncertain. There's no uncertainty in politics anymore. The parties can't even... I want you to listen. You've been watching the news. I want you to listen. Before I go any further, I want to say this. What if Brother Branham, in his last, in those years of his ministry, that he was experiencing things in a small form that was going to come to fullness later, and we would experience the same things he was experiencing. So he would see these things and talk about them, and then we would know that we're in that cycle, because what he saw then, being a prophet, seeing in the distance, and seeing the seed that was laying there, and knowing what it was going to come to here, then it should give us confidence to know that we're out on track and we're listening to the right word. Right? So he says, the parties can't even have any certainty. There's not any fairness among them anymore. It's not about truth, right? It's not about trying to go on the news and preach truth about what a candidate stands for. It's not about that. It's about deception. Is that God? No, it's the devil. It's not about fairness anymore, among them anymore. Now, someone might say you shouldn't mention politics from the pulpit. That's true. But decency and Christianity ought to be mentioned from the pulpit. That's right. I'm not a politician. I'm a Christian. Both sides is corrupt. And by the way, Brother Ram did vote. Okay. But just recently, in this presidential election, even they had to go back and find these voting machines and found these voting machines that when they fixed it up so that when you voted for one, you was voting for the other. Crooked. Don't know who got elected. I'm reading what he told us. They can't tell anymore. No certainty in it. You put them down to count the votes and somebody crooked enough to count them the wrong way. Parties pulling to get their man in. No honesty. The thing is wrong when the machines are set up to vote wrong. And the FBI proved it, that it was done, but they didn't do nothing about it, see? We don't, see what I'm saying? They didn't do nothing about it. Look at this stuff. You got a man standing there on television saying, I told them to fire that man who's investigating my son, or you're not going to get aid from the United States, and they fired the man, and he's on there telling, doing exactly what they claimed the other one did and have no proof of it, and he's right there admitting it, and nothing's done. And one case after another case after another case, doing things that anybody else would spend the rest of their life in prison for, setting up a server with classified information on it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not pushing politics. I'm telling you where we're at. And this is why we see these things going on, because that's the hour we're in, and that prophet told us, and we're in that cycle now.
Right.
So we know what to expect. And if they don't accomplish it this time, they will. The can will be kicked down the road another 4 years, and they'll swing it. Because the people are too asleep. That's exactly what it is. But it's my job to tell the truth about it. And I'm verbal, and I could get in trouble for it, but as long as I can tie it back to truth. The FBI proved they didn't do nothing about it. See why? You wonder why such things gets over the face of the people? How it ever happened? It's because these things have to be. We're at the end time. It has to be there. This man had to be elected. We're at the end. And I'm sure that you can make 2 and 2 4 that we're at the end. And these machines, no matter how much they would prove that they're crooked, it has to remain the way it is. World falling apart. 1963, November. America, what do you want, America? You cry the loudest. What do you want? You've been wanting an educated genius. You've been wanting a political genius. You got it, though you had to invent a crooked machine to get it. See what we're talking about? You had to invent a crooked machine to get it, but you've got it. That's right. That's what you want. Now what are you going to do with it? You got what you want, and I'll say this to the people out there in the world. You're getting what you want. What are you going to do with it? Because it's not going to turn out good. You're not going to like it because you won't listen to truth. Vote a party line because this is the way I've always, and ignore any truth that's presented. Just go ahead and vote this way. Oh, I don't like the way the man speaks, but not analyze what the policies are that he stands for, what's going on.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me the other day, the only thing he did was the Jerusalem thing. Really? That's all you can see? You know why? Because they're under the umbrella of all the fake media that's been pushed out there just like they did with Jesus.
Right.
Setting up false witnesses so they can gain power with the people to strike down the resemblance of godliness.
Right.
See? Sinners that's trying to stand for something right. Got to get rid of it. So that's what it is. What are you going to do with it? You wanted to show how smart you was. You even put them on television to show that one could outsmart the other, and you fell for it. Look what he's talking about. Even back then, oh, these candidates, we're going to put them up there, and we're going to set it up where one of them looks, you know, and show how much smarter he is, and all the people fell for what? Oh, this guy looks smarter than him. I'll vote for him because he looks smarter. And Brother Rim said, you fell for it. Because the enemy will always try to put it over into a light that there's no way you can escape. I can say, Brother Tim, did you ever stop beating your wife every day? No matter how he answers that, condemns him. See what I'm saying? And they love to put things, media puts it into light, and the people fall for it. They put it over in a place where there's no way that this guy they're trying to take down can ever get out because they frame it that way. But I'm framing it back to the Word of God. It's the devil coming out against what is left of Christianity. Amen. And you fell for it. And you've got it now. And where is he going to lead you? Right back to Rome, of course. You see it right now. Souls in prison. This was in 1963, November also. Notice what a great time we're living in. Them prophets rebuked them modern women in their days, and they both paid for it with their lives. And history proves that each one of those times was a woman's world when woman controlled. Think about it. Who was controlling, Ahab or Jezebel? Huh? Who was controlling in Jesus' day? See what I mean? The woman. Wasn't the Word of God taking preeminence? It was a fallen church system role in the Pharisees and Sadducees. Look about today. We'll have one president one of these days. Look like it could be right now. Actually, she's the president. Talking about Kennedy. She's president. He's just a figurehead. Now, whether he's talking about Jacqueline and he's talking about her, but he's also talking about the Catholic Church, which is both because they run parallel. He said, here not long ago in one other nation, she was getting so much praise and everything from all the people till the president himself said, I'm her husband. The president of the United States. Brother Brown looked like he was disgusted. Can you imagine that? President, and she's more important than him and getting on. So he's like, well, I'm her husband. Because it's a woman's world, right? Because it goes back to the gospel that life comes from the male, Jesus Christ, but death comes from the female, the church, Eve. We've got to get back to the male. That's where salvation is. So Satan's kingdom has to take it toward woman's worship and a woman's vote and a woman's ruling, a woman controlling to bring it to what it comes to. Said, I'm her husband. The President of the United States, she sets the fashions, the women's follow it, just like Jezebel did. You heard my sermon on Jezebel religion. You see where we're at now? See what happened here a week or two ago in the city when a Faith Lutheran minister invited a Catholic priest of the Sacred Heart to come up and preach for him, and he did, and then the Faith Lutheran minister went down to the Catholic priest and preached for him. So Brother Branham's showing the mixing of the two. See what's happening? And he says, it has to be this way. Absolutely has to be this way. So I think you know what we're talking about. Satan being exposed again. It's a religious system, and they all, just no matter how they paint it, no matter how big what they do, they don't have the germ of life in them. And all they can do is come out against the righteous. Both Catholic and Protestant is in there. And just let it unfold a little bit further, and you'll find out where their targets are. Because it's all those harlot daughters. He don't have a problem with that. They'll join up just fine. But there's something that the bride has that's not there. And that is she has access to the germ of life, the spoken word. And Satan can't stand it. Because that's where his fight is where God is. These other things are just playing out as small ways of all that leading up to it. But the big picture is that Satan is after anything that resembles, has the life of God in it. And so that's just how it is. The counterfeit religious scientific system. The other night, I heard somebody saying this. Biden's talking about his wife, and he said, I'm her husband. And he's talking about Kamala and says, I'm her running mate. Kennedy said, I'm her husband. Both of them talked about using creditable science in their going forward. And you see, these things that Brother Branham saw happening, we're seeing it again. We're seeing it happening again. And so as he said, if they don't accomplish it this time, they will. This may not be the hour that they finally do it. It looks like it is, but it might not be. And I think probably some of you might have seen it circulating where Brother Graham was praying. He said, Lord, at this great hour where we're at now, and this where we're electing presidents, we pray, God, that you'd give us the right man. We know someday that they will have the wrong one, but we're praying that you give us the right one to give us time to reach some more souls. And you know, I've said this, maybe I've said it from here, but I say it all the time. Why do we want to make America great again? I'd like America to be great again, but why? So we can have another drunken party? I mean, why do we want this man to win? So we can just continue in our adulterous affairs and all the lavishness of all the good economy and all that and just continue to live like devils? I don't think we're going to get anywhere with God like that. But if it was God, that righteousness could be restored and we could teach our children and stop this nonsense and get back to church and serve on you and trying to get people to a real birth, you might get somewhere like that. But that's not it. That's not what they're pushing for. They're only pushing for the portion of the gospel that they want. But they're not pushing for the things, for everything else. You see what I'm saying? If I was going to be running for president and trying to have rallies, I wouldn't be playing rock and roll music at them. I wouldn't be having half-dressed women come up on the platform. You see what I'm saying? Nothing against that, but we want America to be great. And I love this nation. Now, don't get me wrong. And I want to see it prosper. But when it's cursed and the things have come out the way it is and they're not changing, they're not repenting, you know the handwriting is on the wall. And so if they don't accomplish it this time, they will kick the can down the road 4 more years. It'll swing. And when it does, they have been so fed up with resistance of them trying to do what they were going to do. But when they finally swing it, it'll be overnight. Satan will do his deeds. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come up. Just always remember, we are anointed of the spirit of an eagle to fly. We expect God to come and help us. And you know what? Even in what we believe, even if they come and they absolutely just take us to martyrs, it's still the truth. God's program is exactly what He said it would be. and we're thankful for it. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Let's get a song ready. Lord, we want to thank you for this time to be here in the house of God to speak on your word. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit allow us to see things clearly. As Brother Bram said, to wipe our glasses off. And Lord, as I've been praying and saying, Lord, we know that someday they're going to do this, but is this that time? Does it have to be at this moment? Lord, isn't it possible that you could give us some more time? That you could intervene and you could reveal the wickedness of the wicked. And though it won't stop them, but Lord, maybe you could cause them to be thoroughly manifested in the eyes of the people. I ask, God, that you just have your way. We wouldn't ask it to be any other way than what you would want. But you said in your word that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Lord, we're not righteous in ourselves, but your blood is so perfect that it makes us righteous. So, Lord, as we stand here this morning believing and covered by your blood and inspired by your spirit, we're asking, God, that effectually, in the most sincere way we know how, God, would you move and intervene in these things in this election and give your people some more time. Not that we could continue on in things that's not like what you want, Lord, but that we could draw closer to you and we could be Christ Jesus to this generation in a greater way. We're asking, God, that you would do this, but nevertheless, God, thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Spirit, you'll see things for what it is. And all this deception that's going on out there won't touch you. You know, they'll lie about anything, and the time will come when they turn against the bride. Not just Christianity as a whole, but it'll funnel right down to the one who has the germ of life. And when that time comes, they'll lie. Set up false witnesses. They'll do whatever, twist. We've seen the website do that. Take things and twist it all around, make it say something it don't. You know, for many years they've had software where they could record your voice and actually take somebody else saying bad things and morph it to make it be your voice and say you said it. And now they've got the video technology where they can take the pictures of you and make you say and act out sitting there saying things that's not really you. They can do all that. So Satan's kingdom, he's got all the way up. And so, you know, back then they would have used that, but they didn't have that back then because Satan's not a creator, right? He just has to pervert. So it's taken him all these years to pervert, to pervert, pervert. But so back then they could just raise up false witnesses. But don't be surprised if they don't produce things that to the mind and to intellect or just say, oh, look at how demonic these people are. Just demonize us and make us princes of the devils. And that's where we've got to believe. You know, you get a testimony against a brother or a sister or something like that, you're not to believe that right off the bat. But we need to check ourselves in those things to be careful what we receive. Right? But just remember, if we walk in the spirit of the hour, then those things won't bother us. And we don't care what they say. We just want to be Jesus Christ to this generation. Let him live through us. Amen. Because this is the evening time. Let's sing this again as you get ready to go. God bless you.